And continuing our teaching, why are the minds of many being blinded by the enemy? And we brought out some points in part one as to what we as saints must do in reaching those who have been blinded by the enemy. We must yield to the Holy Spirit greater. We must know the word and how to use the word. We must stay in prayer. We must live right before others. We must have a genuine concern for others. We must be real in dealing with people. We must have a burden for souls. We must be willing to minister the word to those we meet. We must have set times to fast, to turn our plates over. We must continue to give and never rob God. We must stay hungry for the word, and we must fellowship with other saints so we can learn and grow from others. Think, at one time we used to be in darkness as saints, in sin, in bondage, and did not even know where we was going to spend eternity. But God sent someone to us who showed us love, concern, and gave us his word. And as a result of us hearing the word, understanding the word, and acting upon the word, we became new creatures in Christ. So today, we now have the same responsibility to those who are still in darkness. And according to Romans 1:14, Paul said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. And in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. In Acts 8:18, when Ananias laid hands on Saul, the Bible says, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. According to Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war taking place in the natural realm. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So the enemy is out to keep men blinded to the truth of who Jesus is, so that they will not know how much Jesus loves them. But it is our job to reach as many as we can with the life-changing word. See, why are the minds of many being blinded by the enemy? See, this thing digs way back in time. When Adam sinned in the garden, God promised mankind a way of escape, a redeemer. And the enemy knew that God was going to send man's answer into the world. So what the enemy wants to do today is convince people that you have time. Oh, you don't have to give your life to Jesus today. You're too young to give your life to Jesus. You got time. You can wait till next week to give your life to Jesus. He would just keep giving individuals excuses after excuses after excuses. You don't have to get right now, because you see, you got too much you want to do in this world. You see, if you give your life to Jesus now, see, you won't have that fun like you used to have anymore. But see, what he's not telling people is that once they hear the gospel, there's a time factor involved in them getting right. Let me explain what I mean. Every person is going to hear about Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. My friend, the gospel today is being preached in every language, basically on the planet. There may be a few exceptions, but God is opening the doors for the gospel to go into areas that's been in gross darkness. So that means the light of the gospel of Christ is now shining in areas that's been in total darkness. So that no person can stand before God and say that they have never heard the word. So you see, the enemy is blinding the minds of people, convincing them that, you know what, you can continue to do what you're doing because God understands why you're doing what you're doing. Because you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, you've been let down by people, or you've lost confidence in the church, you've lost confidence in preachers. That may be true, but don't lose confidence in Jesus. I often ask people this question. People may say, well, they don't go to church and they don't believe in Christianity and they don't believe this. But my question to you is this. What did Jesus do to you to cause you not to come to him? See, because the enemy is blinding the minds of people as to who Jesus is. Jesus didn't hurt you, my friend. Some human may have hurt you, but Jesus did not hurt you. In fact, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his blood for your sins. Jesus hung on the cross. You ready for this? Jesus hung on the cross even when you didn't know nothing about him. He had you in mind. But the enemy has blinded your mind in thinking nobody loves you. Nobody really cares about you. Can my life really change? I've been doing this for so long. And the enemy sometimes convinced people in thinking, well, you got to stay like you are. My friend, the good news of the gospel is this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. My friend, your life don't have to stay like it is. Jesus came into our world, hung on our cross, shed his blood for sins he did not even commit, to prove to you and I, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's where you come into play, my friend, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, my friend, it's not God's will that no one perish, but that all come to repentance. But you see, the enemy may have blinded your mind in thinking that you could do whatever you want to do and still make heaven your home. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, my friend, if your mind has been blinded by the enemy, the light of the gospel now comes your way to show you, my friend, that Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He wants to enlighten your world. He wants to come into your life and bring you out of the darkness you have been in into light that is so marvelous, so glorious. But the only way that can take place is that you must surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you are tired of being in bondage, if you are tired of being in darkness, if you are tired of not having peace, not having joy, if you're seeking rest, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't you want rest, my friend? Don't you want to know if you leave this world right now that you will spend eternity in heaven? You see, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Jesus told us, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But you see, this light that Jesus came to bring to us, you must receive him, according to John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the moment of decision has come, my friend. You may have been blinded by the enemy for many years. You may have never known that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that Jesus paid your sin debt. But because he paid your sin debt, it does not make you automatically right. You have something to do now, my friend, in order to be right. And that's accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And my friend, Jesus came to give you life. Life abundant on the earth, and life eternal after you leave the earth in heaven. But you see, it's the enemy that wants you to spend eternity in hell. But you don't have to go to hell, my friend. Jesus said, come unto me. Will you come to Jesus today, my friend? So he can remove the scales from your eyes. Just as the scales fell from Saul's eyes. Because Saul thought what he was doing was right. The Bible declares, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And my friend, it's the moment of truth now. It's decision time. Are you ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Are you ready for a new beginning of life? If you are, my friend, stop what you're doing right now. Bow your head at this moment. And I want you to repeat this prayer from your heart and really mean it. Because when you do, a change is going to take place in your life. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to planet Earth. You hung on a cross. You shed your blood for my sins. I believe you died, you was buried, and you rose again. I believe you're alive right now. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life from this day forward. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for changing me. I thank you for giving me a new beginning of life. And I thank you for removing the blindness from my eyes, that I now see that you love me. And Lord Jesus, fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit, sealing me until the day of redemption. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the souls who have responded to the gospel. I thank you for the light of your word now shining in dark areas. And I thank you for those who have just walked out of darkness into the marvelous light. And God, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for it now in Jesus' name.